Hello and welcome to the PubK Compliance News Podcast. This is Bill Olfer, Managing Editor of the PubK Group of Legal Publications for the Government Contracting Community. Every morning, PubK Compliance captures the latest news and opinion on Government False Claims Act cases, Foreign Corrupt Practices Act enforcement, and related legal issues. Every 2 weeks on this podcast, we recap the top headlines from our daily news. The Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs may soon rescind its controversial Directive 307, which sets out the office's current methodology for analyzing pay. In its place, OFCCP would direct compliance officers to review compensation based on pay groupings established by the contractor. OFCCP also has released information to clarify the methodology used for selecting supply and service contractors for compliance evaluations. The report details the various steps used to identify all eligible federal contractors and develop the list of contractors for possible compliance evaluations. The report says OFCCP has ensured that an organization would not receive more than 10 compliance evaluations total and that a district office would not have more than 4 establishments in the same organization. Once the list was finalized, the establishments were randomly ordered and uploaded into the agency's case management system. The Department of Labor's Wage and Hour Division has announced a new pilot program to expedite resolution of inadvertent overtime and minimum wage violations under the Fair Labor Standards Act. Payroll Audit Independent Determination Program encourages employers to self-report wage and hour violations. The Supreme Court has asked the Solicitor General for his opinion on whether the court should review the Ninth Circuit's decision in Gilead Sciences, Inc. v. Campy. This may indicate the court's willingness to provide clarification to Escobar's materiality standard. In Folliard v. Comstore Corp., the relator alleged that two contractors violated the False Claims Act by selling end products on the GSA Federal Supply Schedule that failed to comply with the Trade Agreements Act. However, the D.C. District Court dismissed the case, finding that the relator had failed to adequately plead that the alleged TAA noncompliance was material to the government's payment decisions. Transparency International recently praised a number of Russian companies that have disclosed their names, ownership interests, registration countries, and countries of operation for their subsidiaries. According to the report, these types of voluntary disclosures are a powerful signal of a company's commitment to anti-corruption compliance. The Russian parliament is considering a new anti-corruption bill, which is expected to pass quickly. The bill would allow companies to avoid liability in domestic bribery cases if they assist in the discovery or investigation of the bribe or if the bribe was extorted. It would also allow courts to freeze the property of corporations under investigation for bribery up to the maximum amount of a possible fine. Defense Secretary James Mattis says federal prosecutors will probably file criminal charges as part of an ongoing investigation into a series of Army contracts supporting the establishment of security forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. The contracts were supposed to be used to help those nations build their own intelligence gathering capabilities, but recent audits have identified tens of millions of dollars in potential fraud, including luxury vehicles and six-figure salaries paid to employees of New Century Consulting who performed no discernible work. Dun & Bradstreet will pay $9.2 million to the SEC to settle charges that its subsidiaries in China made unlawful payments to win or keep business. According to SEC, the payments weren't properly recorded in the company's books, and the company's accounting controls were too weak to detect the problem. Mexico has banned federal institutions and state governments from doing business with the Brazilian construction firm Odebrecht for the next 2.5 years and fined the company $60 million. In December, Mexico banned the firm from bidding for federal public contracts for 4 years after it was sanctioned for an incorrect charge with state oil firm Pemex. Singapore is the latest country to introduce legislation creating a deferred prosecution agreement framework for scheduled crimes, potentially including corruption. The country's parliament recently approved the new law as part of a wider package of reforms. Panasonic Avionics Corporation has agreed to pay a $137.4 million criminal penalty to resolve charges arising out of a scheme to retain consultants for improper purposes and conceal payments to third-party sales agents in violation of the accounting provisions of the FCPA. Timothy Miller, a former lead contract administrator at Amtrak, has pleaded guilty to one count of bribery for his role in a kickback scheme. According to his plea, in exchange for bribes, Miller helped a small manufacturing company become an approved vendor and win millions of dollars in contracts. The former general manager of the procurement subsidiary of Venezuela's state-owned energy company, PDVSA, has pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit money laundering. The charge related to his role in an international scheme involving bribes paid by the owners of U.S.-based companies to Venezuelan government officials to corruptly secure energy contracts and payment priority on outstanding invoices. And that's the news. For further reading on today's topics, you can find links to our blog posts and original sources on the PubK Compliance page where you listen to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed the presentation. Please join us in 2 weeks for the next edition of the Compliance News Podcast.